Our study tonight is out of Acts chapter 15, verses 22 to 35, wisely communicating a sensitive decision. The book of Acts explains the orderly and sovereignly directed progress of the kingdom message from Jews to Gentiles, from Jerusalem to Rome. So we can learn much about aligning our ministry efforts with God's sovereign work from studying the book of Acts. Acts 15, 22 to 35 records how the early church apostles and elders wisely communicated a sensitive decision to the church at Antioch of Syria. And we study the passage for our insight and application. There's a tremendous need today to be sensitive when we are communicating delicate decisions. Doing that within a body like this, a church, communicating this way to maybe even other Christians that we know. Other people, and this is a great passage that teaches us how to do it. I'd like to read the verses first, and we'll look at them. Acts 15, 22 through 35. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote a letter by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain men which went out from us have troubled you with words subverting your souls, saying that you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Paul and Barnabas, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from immorality, from which, if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare ye well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for its consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to remain there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, with many others also. Okay, the great amount of disputation over the sensitive issue of whether Gentile believers needed to be circumcised in order to be saved that marked the early church's first church council in Acts 15, 5-7, left the members of the council convinced that they needed to communicate to the brethren in Antioch the certainty of the truth of the decision that they had made in order to settle all anxieties and doubts in the believers in Antioch. They had quite a time handling this sensitive issue in Jerusalem. So they thought, okay, if we had this difficulty at time, we're going to have to work extra hard to settle the minds of these poor Gentiles up there in Antioch who are wondering what in the world, you know, we're going to lay upon them a burden. And if we are laying a burden upon them, what it is and so forth. In other words, there's a tremendous need to communicate. This is a sensitive issue. So they wanted to cover all the grounds. Now, it's interesting. They took wise steps. And the wise steps that these leaders took to communicate the sensitive landmark decision as recorded in Acts 15, 22 to 35, example how we can communicate sensitive landmark decisions to fellow concerned believers. First, the apostles and elders brought the entire congregation of believers in the Jerusalem church in on the decision regarding the gospel issue, that there be complete unity on the matter. Did you see that, verse 22? Then it pleased the apostles and elders. Now, apostles and the elders had met in the council, but it says, with the whole church. Now, the whole church involved men and women who were not in the council meeting, but who obviously were brought in the decision. The apostles read this letter to the church. The church says, yes, we agree. So the whole church, the deacons were involved in this, the men, the women, you know, the boys, the girls, the whole bit. All of them were involved in this. This is so important to get the whole church behind an issue. Wow. And then later when Judas and Silas were up there preaching, they said, look, this not only came from within the council itself of the apostles and elders, the whole church read about the decision afterwards, and the whole church was totally unified on this. See, that's going to work to help settle these people down even more. Very, very important to be as unified as you possibly can. Second, the apostles, elders, and the whole body of believers decided to send some select men of their own company to Antioch, along with Paul and Barnabas, to provide added verification of the decision produced at the Jerusalem Council. This verification was significant in view of the issue and the people that were involved. One of these men was Judas, who was called Barsabbas, Acts 15:22, possibly a brother of the Acts 1:23 Joseph, who had been a Palestinian Jew who had followed Jesus all the way from the baptism of John. We forget about this fellow of Joseph, who is also of Barsabbas. Joseph was the other guy besides Matthias that they had put forward that they wanted the Lord to choose between to be the apostle who took the place of Judas. So this is a man who had been there. He's a Palestinian Jew. He'd been there ever since the baptism of John. So this man had a tremendous amount of credibility. And this is a brother probably, that man. The other man was Silas. Now Silas, that's a Greek name. Silas was a Roman citizen. We know that from Acts chapter 16, verse 37, when later he joined the Apostle Paul in the second missionary journey. He was a Hellenistic Jew. So what you've got is you've got a Palestinian Jew here and a Hellenized Jew who would represent the Gentiles. So you got two witnesses. One's very, very Jewish, very Palestinian. The other was a Grecianized Jew. All right? So you got this balance of testimony, and it's a good cross-section of the church in Jerusalem. Both men together could represent both the Hebrews and Judas and the Gentiles and Silas, of which the church at Antioch was composed. Remember in Acts 11:19-21, the first group of people to believe were Jews, but then later Gentiles were added. So you got a church that's mixed of both Jews and Gentiles. And the church in Jerusalem is aware of this. So they're going to send one man who represents the Jews, another man who's going to represent more the Gentiles. Both men would unitedly testify as to the delicate issue of whether believers at Antioch of Syria needed to be circumcised and to keep the law. Also, both men were influential leaders in the church, good representatives to Antioch. Now, I could have included another point. The other point would have been, these are men who are besides Paul and Barnabas. See, if Paul and Barnabas had come back and said, they made the decision, they're all in favor of us, and the church could say, well, we know that you were preaching this about the fact that we don't need to be circumcised, but is that really what they believed? So what you want some men from the church down there in Jerusalem to come up with Paul and Barnabas, and they come along and ratify, yes, Paul and Barnabas are correct. This is what we as a church down in Jerusalem believe. So it doesn't, they're overturning every stone that they can to make sure that these people know that this decision is very credible and it truly represents the church that's back in Jerusalem. Third, the apostles, the elders, the body of believers put their decision in writing, that they all agreed and embodied the decision of the Jerusalem Council, and then they had Judas and Silas with Paul and Barnabas take that document with them to have it read at Antioch to verify the Jerusalem Council's decision. Boy, is this important. Get it in writing. We take minutes, as you know, as a board meeting, and we take those minutes and write them down. We found out that the minutes that we write in a board meeting in a court of law are acceptable as accurate accounts of what goes on in a board meeting. So if we ever get into a lawsuit situation, we've got a record. I've got minutes now going back a number of years, I think going back to 2005, but whatever. And so we keep these records, and we read the minutes of the previous meeting. One of the first things we do, you can tell from the minutes themselves. That's very, very important. Keeping records that we have of our church, of the minutes that we have in our annual meetings, very important, because there are decisions. There are sometimes, as a board, we've gone back to look at some of the minutes on the years past, that are recorded by our church clerk to see, did we discuss this or not? How did we discuss it? What was the decision that we made? It's very good to do that. Get it in writing. And that's what they did. Fourth, this document was addressed to believers not only in Antioch, in the region of Syria, because Antioch is close to the border of Syria and Cilicia, but also to believers in the nearby region of Cilicia, as there were possibly believers from both regions, either in the Antioch church or who were affected by the contacts with that church. Church historians have found that there were a whole lot of churches that were started up around Tarsus, and people wonder if it was Paul who started those before he was called by Barnabas. But anyway, there were a lot of early Christian churches in that area, and that area is in Cilicia. So they wanted to cover everything, not only that area since around Syria, where Antioch was, but since Antioch was pretty close to the border of Cilicia, that let's include a Cilicia too. So, in other words, writing a letter not only to people in Connecticut, but Massachusetts and Rhode Island. You know, make sure that we cover all the bases, because you might have people coming down from those states. That's exactly what they did. Then, fifth, the document asserted that those who had taught the Gentile believers had to be circumcised and keep the law. They had no authority from the apostles and elders to teach such troubling beliefs. Very important. Those people who came to you in Antioch telling you that you had to do that to be saved, they did not do so with our authority. None of the apostles up here certified that. They did that on their own. So we want you to know they did not carry apostolic authority. Sixth, the document added that the Jerusalem Council, apostles and elders, were sending the chosen men, Judas and Silas, with their beloved Paul and Barnabas, men who had hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus, and that would support the testimony and the unity of all the parties involved. See, they recognized that Paul and Barnabas had risked their lives. Paul, too, had been stoned and left for dead, and Barnabas was there with him as well. And so they're complimenting Paul and Barnabas, and they're sending Judas and Silas with them, and they're trying to build unity here. They're trying to keep the church unified and also unified with the church that's back down in Jerusalem. Seventh, the document asserted that the Holy Spirit with the Jerusalem Council had decided not to burden the Antioch believers with circumcision or with the keeping of the law. How did the Holy Spirit do it? Peter said that, remember, 10 years ago when I was over at Cornelius' house, the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles and they weren't even circumcised. The Holy Spirit's already voted on this. See? And James, who was a brother, half brother of the Lord Jesus, said, well, you know, this is what the Old Testament prophets say. So he quotes Amos. And Amos points out how even in the millennial kingdom that is to come, God is going to call uncircumcised Gentiles his people. They're called by his name. So the Holy Spirit authored Scripture. So the Holy Spirit through the Scripture, the Holy Spirit by the experience of falling upon the people at Antioch, at Cornelius' house in Caesarea, the Holy Spirit's been involved in this. And so they decided that they would ask the Gentiles to avoid especially the repugnant practices to Jewish believers of ingesting meat offered to idols, ingesting blood, eating meat of animals killed by strangulation, and sexual immorality. Now, a number of these things were in the Mosaic Law, but they were especially repugnant to Jews. It'd be kind of like believers being told, you're going to have to give up peanut butter and butternut squash, because that's especially, well, and those are things you can do. You know, you can have a different kind of a squash than butternut, and if you have to give up peanut butter, you can always maybe use another type of butter, sesame seed butter. Whatever. So you have to give up peanut butter, so what? These were easy things for Gentiles to do. But in other words, James says, just be considerate of the Jews. And of course, the Gentiles will say, sure, we can do that. They're considerate of us, we're going to be considerate of them. And then, of course, immorality was forbidden in the law, and Gentiles were not supposed to be involved in that as well. But the ingesting of blood and all these other things were Jewish. Now, you'll notice the result was very edifying to the believers in Antioch. They rejoiced in the conciliatory nature of the news. Judas and Silas further confirmed the decision of the Jerusalem Council with the church until the church at Antioch released them to continue their ministries elsewhere. So wonderful ministry. They communicated to the nth degree and then some. They went overboard communicating to settle people down, and they did. So Paul and Barnabas, their ministries validated by the Jerusalem Council, continued to minister at Antioch. The church was very concerned that it would support Paul and Barnabas in front of the church believers in Antioch, and they did that very powerfully. So for the sake of the believers at the Antioch church, the apostles and elders with the whole church at Jerusalem sought to verify in every way the certainty of the decision they had made on the true gospel of salvation. So may we likewise seek to verify in every way the certainty of decisions church leaders make on sensitive theological issues faced by believers in the church. Boy, is this applicable. This past week, I got an email from a party. This party is outside of our church, and they were asking permission. They like our church building. We would like to conduct a wedding in your church. We will bring in the minister and all that. Come into your church. All right. Thankfully, we have in our bylaws, we've added a situation, what to do with the church facilities. The church facilities are to be used by people in the church. That's in writing. It's in the bylaws. So I can come back to these people and say, well, the standard of our church is to minister only to the people and to use the church building for people in our church. Now, there are rare exceptions. If we have someone who's a close relative of someone outside of our church, for example, a close relative outside, but they have a funeral, they've died, and this believer wants to have the funeral in the church, we can do that. We have that. But you know, for outsiders, just to say, we want to come in, we'll bring our own minister in, we're going to... No, we don't have to do that. Another reason we've done that is because once you open up the use of your church and you rent the church out to any group, you have to let every group that asks. So if you've got some lesbians or if you've got some others, gays and so forth, who are wanting to come in, we cannot keep them logically out or we will be sued. So but if we make the decision that this is only for our people and we're consistent with that, there's no lawsuit that's possible. So we do this to protect the church. But I was so grateful that we had that in writing. We've got it in the bylaws. The church has already voted it. And it makes it so simple for me as a pastor. You know, I could say, this is the stand. This is what we have as a church. And there's no argument. There's no problem. That's just the practice that we do. So it really helps for us to communicate wisely on sensitive to things that come up. Because we can save ourselves a lot of headaches. And we can preserve the unity of God's people, which is so very important, if we communicate the decisions that we make with great clarity and with sensitivity.